Belgic Confession of Faith, Article 23, I believe I am justified. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, in Article 22 of the Belgic Confession, you learn how to get what Jesus offers. He offers you grace or salvation, and you get this grace or salvation simply by receiving it by faith. You didn't earn grace, it is a gift. And faith, which is also a gift, are spiritual hands that God gives you by which you simply receive what he offers. Well, today we'll go one step further and examine the result of having received grace through faith. In other words, you will hear what happens when grace enters your life. And our headings are two. One, you are declared justified, and then second, you enjoy the results of being justified. Our goals are that you recognize that you have been declared permanently and perfectly clean by Christ, and that you will then display the awesome results of Christ's work in your life. First, you are declared justified. Let's read the first part of Belgic Confession, Article 23, together. Let's begin. We believe that our salvation consists in the remission of our sins for Jesus Christ's sake, and that therein our righteousness before God is implied. As David and Paul teach us, declaring this to be the blessedness of man, that God imputes righteousness to him apart from works. And the same apostle says that we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. First of all, what is justification? Well, the word justification comes from two Latin words that means to make just. So we can say the dictionary meaning is to make just. But what's the Bible meaning? Is there a difference? Yes. We simply use that word to refer to what God does. God doesn't make us just when you receive grace, because you know you're sinners. You sin every day. You sin before you came to church today. You sin in thought, word, and deed. So you're not made just. God simply declares you to be just. So theologically, justification means God declares a sinner innocent of all his sins. You're declared righteous or justified when you receive with those spiritual hands, the gift of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. When you receive grace, you are then declared justified, free of sins. The way we used to remember that is, remember what justify means, is to use that phrase, that word, just as if, or that expression, just as if I, as a way of remembering, justify. Just as if I, fill in the next two words, never sinned. So you're not perfect, you're declared to be that way. You're declared to be free of all sins. Now, how does this happen? Well, Jesus caused his Father to justify you by doing two things for you that you couldn't do for yourself. What are those two things? First of all, Jesus obeyed God's law perfectly for you. This is called the active obedience of Jesus, and it started when he was a child and continued throughout his life. So his righteousness was credited to your account. The problem is, that was what Adam was supposed to do. If he had obeyed God perfectly for you, you would have been confirmed in righteousness, but he didn't. That's why you needed a second Adam. That's why you needed Jesus. Your second Adam didn't feel like the first Adam. And what a blessing that is for us. But it's not just that Jesus obeyed for us. What are you going to do with all the sins you've committed? The sins of your past, present, and future. The sins of your thought, word, and deed. The sins that nobody knows about. What happened to those sins? Well, Jesus caused your justification by taking the punishment at the end of his life for your sins. We call that the passive obedience of Christ. And that's what Adam deserved. He deserved death. And Jesus took it. Remember how he took symbolically the thorns that God cursed Adam with? He took that on his forehead. He took the beatings on his back. He experienced all of those things because that's what you deserve. So you needed those two things. You needed Jesus to obey throughout his life, so you're credited with his obedience. That's put to your bank account, if you will. And then he took the punishment for your sins, and that punishment is put to your bank account. And that's why you are declared righteous. Well, there's something else that happens before that takes place. It's the praying of Jesus for us. Jesus prays, or let's read, first of all, back up, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 18, 19, and 21, just to add some scripture to help us see this a little bit more. Together, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That was some trade. Jesus gave us his righteousness, and we put on him what? Our trespasses, our sins, the things we did that we shouldn't do and the things we didn't do that we should, we put that all upon him. And he took the punishment and he gave us into our bank account his perfect righteousness. And having done that in his life, then what did he do? He prayed for us. He prayed to the Father, asking him to justify the ones that the Father had given to him, the elect ones, those who truly believe in Jesus. And the beautiful thing is, whatever he asked his Father would give to him. He is the truly beloved of the Father. That means you can have confidence. Knowing the one who is praying for you, for your justification, you can have confidence, because this Son of God was not a pauper. He wasn't a son that was tolerated. He was the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 17 verse 20 says, together, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So he was praying for you. Regardless of where you're from, you weren't even close by. And Jesus was praying for you, that God would accept his life of obedience, his death as punishment for you. And look at what happens when he asks for something. John chapter 6, verse 37. Together, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. You see, when you see that expression, by no means, it means absolutely not. He will never, never cast out the ones the Father had given to him. See, that's what the Father and Son did. They had this agreement. called the covenant of redemption, the agreement between the Father and the Son. And the Father says, I'll give you these elect ones, but you have to go die for them and live for them. And Jesus did. So what are the results then? You enjoy the results of being justified. Let's read together this paragraph that follows. Together. And therefore we also hold fast this foundation, ascribing all the glory to God, humbling ourselves before him, and acknowledging ourselves to be such as we really are, without presuming to trust in anything in ourselves or in any merit of ours, relying and resting upon the obedience of Christ crucified alone, which becomes ours when we believe in him. This is sufficient to cover all our iniquities and to give us confidence in approaching to God, freeing the conscience of fear, terror, and dread, without following the example of our first father, Adam, who, trembling, attempted to cover himself with fig leaves. And verily, if we should appear before God relying on ourselves or on any other creature, though ever so little, we should, alas, be consumed. And therefore, everyone must pray with David, O Jehovah, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight no man living is righteous. No man living is righteous. So what are the results and how do we enjoy this now? Justification through Jesus Christ gives you peace with God. A permanent peace. Not the kind of peace that we have between nations that they're there for a while and then they turn against each other. Or the peace between husband and wife, you know you will end up in a dispute again. The peace between God and man is a permanent peace. God does not break his treaty with his Son. He will save the elect, and he does not break his treaty or his promise with you. You might break your promise to him. You will fall away sometimes, but he never does. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, together, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord. We have peace with God. Now, why is this so important? What's the big deal about this peace? It is important because if you do not have peace with God, his eternal judgment would still be on your head. But now you are in no danger. God's condemnation is not on your head anymore. Christ secured this for you. And we have a beautiful picture of this in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. As we're looking at this, I want you to think of the four persons that are mentioned in the very first verse. You will see there is God the Father, there is Joshua the man, there is the angel of the Lord, who is Jesus Christ, and then there is the accuser, Satan. Let's read now verses 1 through 5 together. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, And they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. The picture then is the devil, standing as a constant accuser of Joshua before the Father, accusing him of being dirty, filthy. But Jesus, who's called the angel of the Lord, remember that's a special title for him, it simply means the messenger of the Lord. He removed Joshua's dirty clothes and covered him with beautiful clothes. That's the picture of Psalm 45. The bride of the Lord Jesus is adorned with beautiful clothing again. That's the picture you see in Songs of Solomon of Jesus Christ and his bride. What does he do? The first thing he does, gets rid of the old filthy clothes and dresses her in beautiful clothes. What are those clothes? Righteousness. You're covered with the beautiful clothes. And then you're allowed in the presence of Almighty God. See, Joshua in this account here in Zechariah could not stand before God in filthy clothes. He had to have them removed. And now he's dressed as one ready for a banquet that we've already heard about. You don't go to a banquet dressed in filthy clothes. You get all cleaned up. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us. Oh, the devil would love to say, oh, you're not really clean. Remember I said you still have sin remaining in your life. And there are times you can doubt and say, look, I'm so rotten, I still sin. Yeah, but God sees you through the lens of Jesus. And he sees you all cleaned up, dressed for the feast. Isn't that wonderful? That truly is awesome. Look at that marriage supper, Revelation chapter 19, verse 9. Together, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Now, we don't have time to get into the beautiful robes that they have there, but those are robes of righteousness. Second, justification through Jesus Christ gives you confidence. Not just peace, but confidence and eternal security. Let me show you how. How is it that we have that eternal security? First of all, let me show you, in fact, as a Christian, you don't have to worry anymore. You don't have to worry about your salvation. The Romanist who says that you have to be justified more and more throughout your life, they're wrong. This is a declaration by God that your sins have all been put upon Jesus Christ. That's why he doesn't have to die every day. We remember that he died for our sins in the Lord's Supper that we celebrated. But we don't have to have a mass every day to take away our sins. It's already done. See, what the Roman Catholics do, they put an enormous pressure upon people in guilt. You got these sins, you're going to be crushed. And that's why they do all these penance and punishment of themselves, forgetting that Jesus already took the punishment for our sins. One time for all times, he did it. Of all our sins, you're free. Then there's another group. You have the Arminians who like to worry, who cause their people to worry. Why? Because they teach that remission of sins was only for the past. But how could Jesus only take some of your sins? Sins of your past before you became a Christian. All your sins are gone. Look at how David wrote in Psalm 32 verse 1 together. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Read Psalm 51 when David cried out about his forgiveness, how God helped him and restored him. As a Christian, he lived in sin for a year. But then God helped him and forgave him. And that's why you can have this confidence that you are secured forever. You have peace. You're secured. You know what this means? You can sleep guilt-free. You can wake up guilt-free because all your sins were put upon Jesus. This is not saying you don't confess when you sin. You ought to. But we don't have to panic. I've sinned and it's hopeless. I have to beat myself on the back and feel guilty. No. You ask me why I'm happy. Let me tell you why my sins are gone. Now, maybe you had a past before you were married. You need to let it go. Why? God has forgiven you. Don't hold on to the guilt or the shame of past sins. Maybe you were mistreated by a Christian husband or maybe by a Christian parent. Let it go. God forgives them, and so should you. Don't let sins of the past crush you. You have been declared free of all your sins. Third, justification through Jesus Christ causes you to pray without fear. You don't need to go and say, God knew what I thought last night. God heard what I said to my children or my spouse. Yeah, of course God did. But you are justified. And you can go before God. Why? Because you have a sacrifice. There's no prayer without sacrifice. No one can pray without the sacrifice of Jesus. What did Adam and Eve do when they didn't have a sacrifice for their sins? They ran and hide. They hid from God. You don't have to run and hide. God does not keep a record of your sin. Remember Psalm 130. As far as the east is from the west too, the psalmist says. Also in Psalm 103, our sin, he removes our sins from us. And if he kept the record of our sins, who could stand? Well, there's forgiveness in you, that you may be feared. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Together, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's no panic. You have the blood of Jesus to offer to God, like the priest had to do before he entered into the holiest place. So you go with the blood of Jesus. Number four, justification through Jesus Christ gives you comfort because Jesus is your eternal defender and advocate. You have all these blessings, but you also have comfort. If you do something wrong, you have someone who's going to pray for you. And when he speaks, just like when he prayed for your justification, when Jesus speaks, the Father hears, and the Father always answers. Because the Father loves the Son. Because the Father gave the elect to his Son. When he prays for them, the Father says, yes, I will hear. That's a comfort to us. You know, sometimes you can mess up a relationship so bad, it's not fixable anymore. As pastor, we have to see these things often. Not often, but often enough. And some relationships are that burn the bridges and there's no fixing it anymore. But not with the Father. You may stray for a while. You may live a life that doesn't please him. But the Lord will forgive you. And that's a comfort. Knowing he will never leave you nor forsake you. A spouse might, children might, friends might, but not him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6 says, together, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Don't need to fear. So if you fall away from serving the Lord for a time, don't panic. You don't lose your salvation. Come back to him. Call upon him and he will hear. Five, justification through Jesus Christ causes you to glorify and to worship him. Already touched upon that today in the first sermon. In the past, no priest could enter into God's presence without sacrifices being made for him, and neither could you. You couldn't enter into the presence of God without Christ's sacrifice. But now you can. So you not only pray, but you can worship God. You realize what this is. It looks like a regular building. And we have electricity, we have pews. It just seems like it's ordinary. Some of these chairs might be 25 years old. But do you realize that you are in the presence of Almighty God, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who has all power? It should change how you respond in terms of how you live for God, how you worship him. That doesn't mean as soon as we come in, we get into a straitjacket, because we are here with as brothers and sisters to worship God, and we do so together. But this is a when we gather together, we are entering into the presence of Almighty God because of Jesus Christ. Psalm 115, verse 1 says, together, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. That's the grace of God that we receive, and so we give him the glory. Number 6, justification through Jesus Christ makes you humble. For a boastful man doesn't understand justification. When you and your father Adam, you had that desire to be autonomous, independent of God. But when God helps you now, the word of God shows you your sin and your hopelessness and your barreling. You're heading with force. You're running with speed towards hell. And then he says, stop. Let me show you something. Remember Zechariah? There's this big scroll in the sky that had the law of God, that the world could see, the nation could see what they had done, how they rebelled against God. That's what God did. He showed us our sins. And then he showed us the work of Jesus Christ. He showed us that we were like those people who were mocking Jesus and beating him and laughing and saying, if you are the Son of God, come down from that cross. We were opposing the very thing that would save us. We were in those people. But when you see he stayed there and he said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And then he offers salvation to you. And then he gives you faith that says, here's faith. I'm giving you good hands so you can receive what I've given to you. If that doesn't humble you, nothing else will. If you see an arrogant man, he probably doesn't know this salvation yet. Because the one who is a Christian will realize how needy he is. Look at Psalm 130, verse 5 through 8. Let's read together. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. You notice the word wait and hope. You're waiting for someone to show up to rescue you. You're hoping they will come to rescue you. And Jesus did. And when you realize that, this indeed makes you worship better. So if you are not humble, what's the solution? Ask God to see what Jesus did for you. You know the song, roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show where you brought me from and where I could have been. We need to see the cross regularly. Regularly. 7, justification through Jesus Christ makes you able to do all kinds of good works for God. Remember, you can gain no merit for good works unless you have faith. We talked about that in the catechism question today. Now, what does this mean? First of all, for those who are outside, we know as Christians, God gives us faith, and that faith is seen in works, as James says. But think about those who are outside. You see here that all religions are not the same. Only Christianity speaks of the need for justification to be saved. And only the saved can do good works. So only the Christian can do good works. Look at the example of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 together. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. When Noah was doing all that work, when he was there for over 100 years building that ark, that is an example of faith that produced good works. But if the world can't do it, those of other religions, you have a moral duty then to spread the good news of Jesus Christ so that God would give those people faith, so that they can receive the justification that Jesus offers, and so that they can have eternal life. Finally, justification through Jesus Christ causes you to be able to feed on him. You see, justification incorporates you into the body of Christ. And he is the vine and you are the branches. That means you're able to live by remaining in him, feeding on him, drawing from him. That's what gives you strength. That's what helps you to produce fruit and bring honor and glory to him. So when people look at the vine, they say, what a beautiful vine, what beautiful branches, what beautiful fruit that come from those branches. Romans chapter 5, verse 10, last verse together. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life, by drawing from him. He continues to keep us. The justification was a one-time act. We are joined to him, and then we are nourished and strengthened and kept by him. Let's conclude. As a result of receiving by faith the active and passive obedience of Jesus Christ, you were declared justified, righteous. You were made right with God permanently and irrevocably. God will not change his mind. You then have permanent peace with the Father. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let your justification be a source of comfort to you. Let it give you confidence. Let it give you eternal security. Let it make you able to approach God in prayer and to worship him. Let it make you fall before him in humility. Let it make you work hard because you're unable to do so. Let it make you daily feed upon Christ so you'll be strengthened to work hard. Let it make you rejoice. When the morning comes, you sing a song of praise and say, thank God he's given me a day where I could live for him and show his love for the world. Let his justification help you to share him. The blessing of God's salvation is rich and full and free. And here's the wonderful thing. You can share the gospel and see more and more people justified before God, and it never takes away from anything you have. In fact, the more you share, the more you get back, because there are blessings on top of your justification that come for your work. So share so others can receive that justification. And if you're not a Christian, you're still in your sins. And you will have to face the full judgment of God for your sins and spend eternity in hell. But you still have time to be saved from judgment. You know, some people who went to bed last night didn't wake up this morning. They have no hope. But if you are not a Christian, you have hope today. You have this opportunity. Take this opportunity. Don't squander it. Call on God for help. Ask him to justify you because of Jesus. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that Jesus Christ lived and died for us. And he prayed that you would justify us. And you heard his prayer, and you did so. And now we've received all your blessings. Help us to live as those who have been entrusted with this great wonder of being your children, justified by grace through faith. Help us to share this message with others so that others can enjoy what we have. For good news should never end with us. May we spread it to those who are yet in darkness. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.